Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from a study of Ezekiel. It's part three, judgments on Judah. God now has something to say about prophets and prophecies, and I think we should listen carefully, because this is happening in our day, too. It's question 22. If you're following in the book, it's page 34 in Ezekiel. It's chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. The question, how were the false prophets receiving their messages, the messages that they gave to the people? Where did they come from? The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Well, we dealt with the term Son of Man in part one, where we shared that this title is applied scores of times to Ezekiel, unlike any other man. Now, he is not the Son of Man. That's a title given only to Jesus. But there is something unique about this prophet, for sure. As to God's description of the false prophets of Ezekiel's day, they're amazingly like the company of charlatans who have invaded the church in our own generation. There have always been a few, but there's a veritable flood today, it seems. And their method? They listen to the inner recesses of their own heart. They may seem very spiritual in this posture. Maybe their eyes are closed, they're concentrating, trying to hear what's on the inside. But they've seen nothing, says God. A prophet used to be called a seer, one who sees. A true prophet sees things. Consider all the visions accorded to Ezekiel already in the book. These were not his imaginings. He actually saw cherubim. He saw the evil inside the temple, though he was many days' journey from it. He saw Pelatiah die. Prophets see. False prophets imagine, and they think, and they conjure up. You see, are there not true prophets in our day? Does God not give visions and messages? Well, in my experience, no, and my experience is not definitive. But let the prophets speak according to what Scripture has already said, if they speak at all. Let them submit their messages to those in the church with discernment, as says Paul to the Corinthians. Now, where have you seen where this supposed gift of prophecy is out there? Where have you seen such submission, such comparison among those calling themselves prophets in our day? Much more common, in fact, is the fortune teller. This is the, quote, prophet who reads the news, is savvy politically, makes guesses about what is coming, and sometimes he's right because he's smart. Sometimes he's wrong because he's not that smart. Biblically, the wrong prophet must be ignored at least, executed at most. The true prophets spoke often of the false prophets. Moses, Jeremiah, and our present prophet are three that come to mind. False prophecy is a theme of Jesus and Paul and Peter and Jude. God hates false prophesying. Question 23. How are false prophets like jackals among ruins? Look at chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. You have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for the house of Israel, that it might stand in battle in the day of the Lord. The Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges explains this passage, I think, properly. It says, the main idea here is that their operations only increase the devastation that is the work of the false prophets, and they undermine and bring down anything that may yet be standing. In a declining and disastrous time, The minds of men are excited, and they feed on the wildest schemes. And feeling themselves helpless, they readily turn to those who pretend to speak to them in God's name. And it only adds to their ruin when those to whom they turn have no higher wisdom than themselves. Some translations say foxes instead of jackals. The image is the same. Foxes rummage around the ruins of a building, pushing here and trampling there, finishing the destruction begun by some disaster. They do nothing helpful to rebuild or strengthen the edifice. The people of God are in a ruined state here and are about to receive even more pillaging. And the false prophets come along and they add to the carnage by saying things in the name of the Lord that totally mislead them. Question 24. Is it possible the false prophets were seeing something besides their own spirits? Look at verses 6 and 7. They've been seeing false visions and lying divinations. They say, declares the Lord, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them. And yet they expect him to fulfill their word. Have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, declares the Lord, although I have not spoken? Now, this is not to contradict what he's just said about the prophets seeing nothing. Those who prophesy, quote unquote, out of their own spirits, do indeed see nothing. But the door seems to be opened here to the possibility that some false prophets are seeing images given to them from the outside, and not from the Holy Spirit, but from demonic influence. These seem to be the options in our day. Our 21st century prophets speak either on their own or from what the Bible calls familiar spirits that have been granted a measure of truth. But since they are ambassadors of the father of lies, they end up being deceivers. Remember, it was a deceiving spirit that lured Ahab, King Ahab, to his final battle, one that ended in his demise. Prophets brought him there. Notice the declares the Lord, or as we used to say, thus saith the Lord. And today you hear it everywhere. The Lord told me this, or the Lord spoke to me. And what the prophet, or tragically, just the ordinary Christian, says after those words, the Lord told me, you're expected to believe. No argument. God has spoken. Well, God does speak to his people through the scriptures, through godly counsel, through preaching. And yes, there is an inner witness, but that inner witness can get confused with that old deceitful heart and needs to be confirmed by the main means of confirmation, his word and his people. Why else have a Bible and a spirit-filled church? Why have these things if we're meant to receive words totally on our own all the time? Question 25. How are the false prophets to be punished? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have uttered falsehood and seen lying visions, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. So number one, God is against them. Number two, God's hand will be against them. Number three, no longer will they be looked to as counselors in Israel. Stay away from them, people. Note today how these gurus of prophecy sell books by the millions and have people begging them for advice about the future, which they know nothing about. Number four, more, they will not even be registered as Israelites. Their names are going to be blotted out of all the registers. Men without a country. Five, worse, they're not even to enter the territory of Israel. Their message is worthless. Their lives, too, will be considered worthless to my people. Persona non grata. Get out. That's how God views false prophets and their prophecies. Should God's church not view them the same way? Leave us. You don't belong here. Your messages are not welcome. You are not welcome. In my opinion, yes, that is exactly what our view should be. Number 26, how does the prophecy of peace equate to a whitewashed wall? Look at verses 10 to 16. Precisely because they have misled my people saying peace when there is no peace, and because when the people build a wall, these prophets smear it with whitewash, say to those who smear it with whitewash that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of rain, and you, O great hailstones, will fall, and a stormy wind break out. And when the wall falls, will it not be said to you, where is the coating with which you smeared it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a stormy wind break out in my wrath, and there shall be a deluge of rain in my anger, and great hailstones in wrath to make a full end. And I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish in the midst of it. You shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I spend my wrath upon the wall and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. The prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the Lord God. Judgment is coming to Israel and Judah again. The land reeks with evil. Nothing will stop this deluge of destruction, not even tears and crying. But the false prophets erected, virtually as it were, a wall of protection for their audiences. And on their supposedly stable wall, they splashed some whitewash. Oh, it was a beautiful wall. No judgment is coming. There's no war either in heaven or on earth. All is peace. Just relax. Don't listen to the prophets of doom like this fraud Ezekiel. You see how his own wife died? God may be judging him, but not us. Peace. Peace. We hear it today, don't we? Nothing to fear but fear. Don't be afraid. Think positive. Our nation's going to be great again. God loves us so much. There are a few narrow-minded preachers out there, but the vast majority of our nation's people know that happy times will be here again. The crisis will pass. Normalcy will return. God says, hush. There's a storm coming, and I'm in that storm. A huge downfall of rain from the north. That's chapter 1. And that rain will first take all that whitewash off your feeble wall. Then comes the wind and more rain, and your entire structure will be destroyed. After I deal with the wall, says God, I will deal with you who dared to construct it, raise it up in my face to contradict what I have said to my real prophets. The whitewash will come off. The wall itself will come down. The builders of the wall, they'll all be gone. You're liars. Your lies will not stand. Amen. Well, at least the women were not in this, right? The women stayed at home and cooked the meals. And oh, no, no. There's some women involved in all this falseness, and we've got to talk about them next time. Do come back. Hey, I have the words of several great men of God on this website. I've read their stories. I've read their words. Good stuff all over here. North Korea audios by the hundreds. Please check the photo album while you're there, too. And the Quran. I've done a whole study of the Quran for Christians. I've done a study of Muhammad compared to Christ. Not much comparison there, but I did it. And through the Bible, we've gone through the whole Bible, question and answer. Twice, actually. We've done end-time prophecy a lot. We've got commentaries. 58 different titles. We're working on another one as I read to you now. All of that is available at Amazon or Kindle for a dollar. Also, a disc. I will send you two discs. For $10, you will have all the works I ever did. 58 titles will be on there. Maybe by the time you write, it'll be 59. I don't know. That will cost you $10. Just click on Give and then click on 10. Let me have that donation. And that will be used to send the books and pay the postage wherever you happen to live. I'd be glad to send it. There is a blog right here on the website. I hope you'll look at that. That turns out to be quite often just books that I've written, a little piece at a time. So you can read a whole book right here online. And then there's Zoom. Men, send me an email with your testimony. I'll send you an invitation with the link. That's every Saturday night for men only, 7 o'clock Central Time. We're having a good time. We've been together for many months now, and it's just a good little group of men. We've got room for a few more. Come on around. And then there's Facebook friends I always am looking for. I canceled my old Facebook account and started all over with some Christian friends. You will see if you just check my list here. I've got some good people with whom I relate every day. It's just a few, but it's very refreshing now and enjoyable to go to Facebook as opposed to before when I was hearing, oh, well, I won't go there. Do come around. It will be fun to have you with me. Anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.